God honors His word with healings and signs and miracles and wonders. He didn't heal your daughter because she was a bad girl. He healed your daughter because she repented of her sin and we prayed in faith for her. That's the reason He does everything, because we taught her the truth. For if these things be in you and abound, they will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9 and 10. But he that lacketh these things is blind. We got a problem, don't we? And cannot see afar off. And he has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. When you got saved, you got purged from your old sins. How quick we forget. You know how easy it is to forget? Oh, yeah, we do that well. We really do that well. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Do you want to fall? No. Verse 11. Let's go to verse 11 and then we'll... For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, how would you like to serve the Lord and be bold with His word, and one day when you appear at the throne of grace, you see the King like this with a big smile on His face? You can associate with that, can't you, girl? Woo! I mean, is that what we want to hear? That's what we want to hear. We want to see the King out there with His arms open, with a big smile on His face saying, come in, honey, come in here. You done a good job for me on earth. Is that what we all want to hear?
Amen.
Absolutely. And can we all hear that?
Yes,
we can. That's available. All you got to do is get in the Word and do what God says and be willing to be bold as a lion and not be ashamed of nothing that Jesus done. And when people... When people say something, I've told people lots of times where I've been all over. I just walk up to somebody and they're sick and I say, you want to be healed? Well, who are you? I said, well, I'm nobody, but I know the healer. I know Jesus. I know a man and a woman personally that she told me a tremendous story when she was a younger woman. She's older than me now, but many years ago when she was a young woman, she was going through Nashville, Tennessee. And she had to change planes in Nashville, and she landed there, and she's running like crazy to get to the other plane because they only had like a 30-minute time after this one plane was a little late. She was having to get there. Well, she's running, and all of a sudden there's a man in a wheelchair, man or woman, I forget what it was, but anyway, they're pushing somebody in a wheelchair, and the Lord spoke to her and said, lay hands on that woman, and I'll heal her for you. And she said, Lord, I ain't got time. I got to catch my airplane. And the Lord says, you want to miss a miracle? Oh, God, I'm sorry. Okay, run to her and say, heal her, Lord, in Jesus' name. And that's all she said. And then just keeps running. Next day, she comes back through Nashville, and there's a newspaper. Unknown woman lays hands on a woman in a wheelchair, and she was instantly healed. I know the woman personally. I know her. She told me the story herself. Now then, how many times does God speak to us and tell us to do something? And we don't do it. Have we ever been there and done that? Too many times. All of us have done that too many times because right behind that little voice, there's a little voice that says, but what if He don't do it for you this time? You're going to look like a fool. And you say, besides that, He says, you're late. Remember, if you don't go on, you're going to be late to church this morning. Isn't that something? You're going to be late to church. You know, church is doing what Jesus said. He don't care if you made it or not. He wants you just to be an obedient to His word. He may have something else for you to do today. You know that? So whatever He's got for you to do, do it.
Amen.
Romans 6, verses 1 through 23. Romans 6. We're going to go to a new place here. Now, in that second Peter, did He give us some awesome power?
Yes, sir.
He cut us short anywhere? Not anywhere. By His divine power has given us all things. What shall we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, He's given us all these wonderful things. Everything belongs to us. We're freedom. We have freedom in Christ. So what shall we say then? Should we just continue in sin? What's His answer in verse 2? as any Christian, should we have to change our mindset as Christians. I was taught so many years I was an unworthy sinner saved by grace, and I just sinned all day, every day. So why try to not sin? That's what I was taught. But until I started reading the book myself, and I realized, hey, what they're teaching me is not what the Bible says. Right there it says, since I am free and all things belong to me for godliness and health and everything, shall I just go out and continue in sin that this grace that God give me may abound? And his answer is, no. Is that what he said? He said, God forbid. No, no, no. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Oh, that's a problem. You ain't dead. You died when he saved you. But the guy that baptized you didn't hold you down quite long enough. Now, you could have had it all. He could have killed you right there, and you would have never had to worry about sin no more. You wouldn't have to worry about sickness or nothing. You could have just went ahead and went home to Jesus, clean and pure. Now, God might not have been happy with the preacher. I don't know. He didn't hold you down long enough. So somebody says, I'd love to see a resurrection. Let me tell you, we've all seen too many resurrections. How many of you know that somebody said, I mean, you're a Christian, supposedly spirit-filled Christian. You're walking in God's love. And all of a sudden, oh, your husband does something you don't like. And you tell him where to get off. You just fell from grace. You just resurrected that beast that you live in, and it's alive again. How many of you have resurrected that beast? You know what I mean? Yeah. These two girls up here, they act like they've been there before. They're having so much fun in church. Nobody should be allowed to have that much fun in church. Do you think God planned for us to have fun in church? Absolutely. He expected us to have fun. He expected us to make life fun in church. We can tell his principles, and we all know we've sinned and come short of the glory of God, but we don't have to continue to live there. Amen. We can overcome this junk. We can keep that beast dead. Every time that beast tries to rise up, we can swat him back down again. Is that right? You can kill him again. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein in sin? You know, I'll tell you a story that when I preached down at Gateway Church, the first time I spoke at Gateway, it was only about 200 people, and it was pastors and staff. Now, that's a big church. They got about 20,000 in attendance. So I didn't get to speak to the congregation. I got to speak to the ministers and so forth. And so, and the deacons and Sunday school teachers, about 200 of them. And as I was teaching some of these things, at the little 15-minute lunch break, one of the pastors came up to me and said, Thurman, I got to tell you, when you talk about God talking to you, he said, my wife and I got married, and we've been married just a few years, and said, we had one of these little disagreements that you're talking about, and obviously, we both resurrected from the dead, and we got at each other, and she got all upset, and she went home to be with Mama for a while. And so he said, I am without my wife, she's gone to be with Mama for a week or two, and I'm at home by myself, and said one Saturday afternoon, I'm going down to buy something at the Walmart or whatever, and he said, as I walked in, I see my old high school flame. I said, well, hi, how are you doing? She said, oh, I'm doing good. He says, how are you and your husband getting along? She said, oh, I divorced him. I'm not married anymore. And so we get to talking, and she said, why don't we go to dinner? Have you had lunch? No. Well, let's go to dinner. So we go to dinner, and we're sitting there talking about old things for a couple hours. And he says, "Why? We're so enjoying talking. Why don't you come up to my apartment for a while?" This is a pastor. This guy's a pastor. And so he says, I go. You know, like put a hook in his ear and drags him right off. He said, we're up in her apartment, and said, the more time we spend, the closer we get together. And then he said, first thing you know, we're in the bedroom. And she takes her clothes off and lays down on the bed. He said, I'm taking mine off too. And he said, all of a sudden, I get about half undressed and I hear this voice, John, do you know what you're doing is sin? He said, I'm turning around to see who's talking to me, and I ain't seeing nobody. He said, then he realized who it was. Who do you think it was talking to him? The Lord, of course. God was there in that room with his pastor, and he knew what he was fixing to do. Had he just resurrected the dead? Had she resurrected the dead if she was saved? Yes. The two of them were going to go together with flesh, do exactly what the flesh, and God knew it was going to condemn him. And he wasn't going to let his son get to it. So he said, John, do you know what you're doing is sin? I'll tell, all I got to say is he should have at one time or another spoke to every one of us in this room like this, because everyone in this room is guilty of some kind of sin. Every one of us. And sometimes God don't speak other than the word. But he spoke to every one of us in his word, didn't he? But we don't believe him very often, so we resurrect the dead. Then he says in verse 3 and 4, let's see what he says in verse 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? When you were baptized, you died. When you were resurrected, you're supposed to stay dead. The Spirit's the only thing that's supposed to stay alive. But that's not the way we do it. I mean, it's real easy for the flesh to come back to life. People say, man, the hardest thing in the world is to resurrect somebody from the dead. No, I think the easiest thing in the world is to resurrect somebody from the dead. I've seen thousands of them resurrected from the dead. It's not like they think. You think when a guy dies, you know, he ought to stay dead. But we don't. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Amen. Now, when you die and you're baptized and you raise up, are you supposed to ever sin again?
No.
You got to get a new mindset. The mindset is no more sin. I am to walk holy before God. I'm to study my Lord's word. I'm a child of the King of the universe. I'm to walk holy and obedient to his word. And if I walk holy and obedient to his word, I give no place to the devil. The devil will not be able to touch me or my children. I will not be able to be made sick as long as I walk in obedience to God's word. I will walk in divine health. And you can do that.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, I've Got Jesus Riding With Me, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.